and call the meeting to order at 10:02 on Thursday, August 6th. Welcome back. And we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance first. So, Commissioner Hertz, Lori, would you mind leading us?
Okay, thank you. Please join me in saluting the flag of our great nation. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we have our interim Madam Clerk today, and Valerie's on vacation, hopefully somewhere fabulous.
Absolutely. Commissioners, please indicate your presence when I call your name. Commissioner Hertz Mallory.
Here.
Commissioner Rosser Aceves. Commissioner Mahoney. Commissioner Merrick.
Here.
Commissioner Weiss.
She'll be late.
Commissioner Miles.
Perfect.
And Commissioner Nashashibi. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Yes, you did.
And noting for the record, we do have a quorum. Just some housekeeping items before we get started. The agenda for today contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action shall be taken upon any item not appearing on the agenda. The commission encourages public participation. Members of the public may request to speak on any item appearing on the agenda or during the general public comments. Please complete a speaker request form and turn it into the clerk prior to the reading of the agenda item. Speakers will be given 3 minutes to speak. The clerk will run the timer and announce when your time is up. Public comment may also be submitted electronically by emailing comments at cob.oc.gov. Also, please be aware that the room is microphoned for recording of the meeting, so please try to keep side conversations to a minimum, and please turn cell phones to mute or vibrate for the duration of the meeting.
Thank you. Okay, do we have any public comments?
We do not have any public comments.
Yes, I'm sorry, they just filled out their stuff.
Fantastic. Would you mind giving your slip to the clerk? Good morning. Go ahead and come right over here. You can give the slip to our Madam Clerk.
Ladies, are these general public comments? We have two requests to speak. We have Kaylin and we have Layla.
Okay, who would like to go first? Absolutely.
Okay, so hello everyone, my name is Kaylin.
Hi, my name is Layla Gordon-Rama.
And we're from Girls Inc. of Orange County. And today we're here to talk about what we did in our ambassadors program and also our trip to St. Louis, Missouri for the Girls Inc. Summit.
So our program, we were able to be ambassadors this past year, in which we were able to be not only an education group, but also a research and other teams that we got to create a passion project. So my passion project in my education group was on period poverty, as this topic not only affects the girls in my group, which the fact that we don't have access to a lot of period products in our bathrooms at our high schools, but also 500 million women worldwide happen to have, who are affected by period poverty every month. So this was a problem, and this topic was very near and dear to our hearts, so we decided to create a workshop, and that workshop was a presentation to young girls, not only on the topic of period poverty, but also the menstrual cycle, and we got to teach them about that as well.
And adding on to Layla, my group was the research group, and we prioritized a lot about healthcare for all. So what we did is that we sent out forms to people in our Girls Inc. affiliate, and also to older people such as our parents, and also workers at Girls Inc. to ask them about how they felt about their access to healthcare. Many said that a lot of them had trouble receiving healthcare due to their prices, and we learned from this experience that healthcare isn't always accessible for everyone, especially with pricing, with locations and transportation. So what another group did, our policy group, is that they helped reach out to OCTA to ask for transportation for elderly citizens to get their health care so that we could prioritize everyone's health care and have equal health care for all.
And with our project, we were able to go to the Girls Leading Change Summit, which was held in St. Louis, Missouri this past July. And we were able to present our topics to a small group of girls who are all over the US and Canada. And through that, we were able to not only be a presenter, but also a listener and a spectator to all these different advocacy projects that these girls created, from the fact that what our organization stands for is to empower young girls to be strong, smart, and bold. And being in a community of girls who took the chance to realize that there was a problem in their community and not only take action, that's definitely what the organization wanted to see. That's empowering young girls today.
Overall, it was a really fun experience, especially meeting girls from all over the country and Canada. And we got to learn a lot about public speaking and work with other groups that were outside of our affiliate. So we got to meet new people, learn how to like connect and network. We also got a lot of information about LinkedIn, and we learned just a lot about life skills that are very beneficial. And it was overall a very fun experience, and it was really fun just meeting new girls overall.
That is fantastic. I love it. And typically in public comments, we don't do interactions and engage typically, but I'm chair, so you don't have to follow that rule. With love, do you mind if we ask you some questions? Okay, I have some, but go ahead.
Okay, so my name is Rima Shibi. I'm one of the commissioners here. And my nonprofit is about ending harmful practices towards women and girls, such as child marriage, human trafficking, and other forms of gender-based violence. You mentioned 500 million girls live in poverty globally. There's 850 million women and girls that are alive today that were married before the age of 18, and 12 million girls under 18 get married on an annual basis. Have you come across a correlation between marrying as a child and poverty? Have you come across that during your research?
During our research, we kind of focused on period poverty as a subject. So I haven't really seen the correlation, but I would expect there would be, as normally in those situations, it's harder to have access to those products like that, because many, most of the time, they're not always respected in the way that they would be in their next.
And they wouldn't have the skills,
yes,
in order to have a steady income. Okay. Thank you. Great job.
Thank you. Do you have a question or comment?
I do. I just wonder, how long have you been engaged with or participating in programs at Girls?
So for the Girls Inc. Ambassadors program, the program was basically like a school-long program. Like, we started in like, I'd say October maybe, and we lasted to May, and it was basically like once a month, or we would have like, I think twice a month, we would have like one meeting online and one meeting in person. And we first got to learn about advocacy and what we could like choose to advocate for. And as a group, we decided to prioritize healthcare for all and period products. So that was like our main focus like throughout the whole school year.
So I'm Ann Mallory, and I'm so excited to hear your presentation, and I just want to encourage you to continue finding your voice and representing the things that are important to you. It sounds like you learned a lot in your program, a lot of skills on how to advocate, and then you got very passionate about a particular issue. Now that you know so much, is it inspiring you to take any further action?
I believe so. I met, especially at the summit that we had in St. Louis, Missouri, I was able to network with a lot of girls, and my group being period poverty-based as the topic, I got to network with someone who
right? I work with a homeless prevention agency, and we are always asked for period products and rarely have them in stock. So if your group is interested in doing a drive, right, and donating to a local agency, I'm not sure where you guys are, you know, but I am confident that there are agencies that would be very excited to partner with you. So you could, like, make that direct difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my question is, a little bit about both of you. How long have you guys been involved with Girls Planning Incorporated UN? And then second, have you interacted at all with any of our state legislators? And maybe communicated to them about the importance of what you guys are doing and see if there's an avenue that they can kind of help push things along.
So me, I've been involved in for over a year now. I first started by attending this program for girls at called Task Force College, where they offer like field trips to different colleges. So I discovered Girls Inc. through that last summer, and then because of that, I really wanted to continue on with Girls Inc. So I signed up for the advocacy program that we're part of right now, and I did that for this whole school year, and I went to St. Louis, and yeah, now I'm here, and I'm a junior in high school, and no, I haven't like had any like association with like any community.
Which high schools are you both in?
I go to Valencia High School, which is located in the Central.
And then I go to Global High School, which is in the Central. I'm also an upcoming junior. I have been involved with Girls Inc. since my freshman year of high school. I was introduced through it through my school's actual Instagram, which had a college and career. So it was a program that was called Girls Meet the Workforce, which basically teaches a group of young girls how to write cover letters, how to write a resume, and how to do interview skills. And it kind of opened my eyes to the workforce because I had not thought of that before high school. So I was involved in that, and I still am to this day. And I also, same as Kaylin, started with the advocacy program just this past year. And I have not also had any, I guess I haven't contacted any like state legislation, but I believe a lot of the girls who are in Girls Inc. have, especially our actual teen advocacy. They actually go to Washington, D.C., and they get to kind of present to, I think, a couple of senators on their advocacy projects that they do in that program as well.
So, both of you being from, so do you live in Tustin?
I live in Orange.
You live in Orange, perfect. And you live in?
I live in Tustin.
Okay, so I believe your state assembly person is Philip Chen for both of you. I would love to connect both of you to him and see if there's something that can blossom from that as far as his legislative advocacy group. So I'm happy to give you my card, and then you guys can just send me an email. So I'm a councilwoman in the city of Villa Park, so we're neighbors. Glad you said you didn't go to Elmo. My kids went to BP. Kind of our rivals. So let me give you my card, and it has my email on it. And I would love for you guys to connect with me, and I'll see what I can do.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, and thank you guys for coming and continue the work.
And here's my card too. We just I recommended one of our interns to Assembly Member Philip Chen. And Senator Sayato and Young Kim.
Yep.
And so they'll be getting an award for their work.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
I saw the J
and
I thought it was my.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Rima.
Okay.
Rima.
I know who you are.
Not Joanna.
Sorry, guys. I saw the J and I thought it was me.
Rima, I think they are ready for you.
Sorry, I didn't say.
Okay. Thank you guys for coming. Really appreciate it. Fantastic. Let us know what we can do to help. Okay, moving on to agenda items. Item number one, approved minutes of June 4th, 2026, regular meeting of the commission. Do you have any public comments on this? Did everybody get an opportunity to read the minutes? Any discussion? Okay, do I have a motion to accept and approve the minutes of June 4th?
So moved.
Second. Perfect. First and second. All in favor?
Yes. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstentions? Okay. Agenda item number 2, review and discuss work in progress regarding caregiving access, affordability, and develop recommendations for actions the county can take to impact caregiving access and affordability in Orange County. So, for item number 2, I prepared, good morning, that's okay, I prepared kind of what, I want to call like a update for the board's attorneys, and so I'm going to hand it out. In, with respect to our next report, some of it was long. that gap, that July, was fabulous for the COVID. I was, how do I say this? We didn't get as much participation as I had hoped. It does not apply to anyone in this room. But we did not get as much participation as I had hoped in being as far along as I wanted to in this next report. So, and managing expectations, what I'd like to see and do is I'm going to hand this out, and this is kind of, and this is, I'm going to hand this out, we'll read it, you guys take it home. Staff look at it, come back in September, we're gonna dissect it. If it's good the way it is, great. If it's not, we need to make changes, we will. But what I wanna do is I wanna present the board sometime in September, I guess, because if we take this home now and then everybody brings it back, we work on it, approve it, the September meeting, ready for board of supervisors. It's just an update that's basically saying, here's kind of what we're going to plan on doing for the July, the 2027 report, outlining just a couple of the areas that we've already discussed, nothing has changed, whatever. But for us to put together any kind of report like what we've had, I still have PTSD. There's 3 of us in here, probably have PTSD from that. So, I'm trying to manage expectations. I'm not expecting that we are going to put together a big old thing like what we had. I know we've all discussed that, but what are we going to put together? So for me, I feel like what would be manageable, what would be acceptable, what would follow with our bylaws, and what is the expectation of us would be to do like a one page. We pick 3 things around adult care, child care, you know, the things that we discussed, and we give recommendations based on that to the board. Those items. Using the data from 2026 annual report that is very comprehensive and kind of be like, we blew it out of the water on that one, you know, so kind of shot ourselves in the foot because now they're going to expect. Yeah. And in that, that's where, because I went, I looked at the bylaws again, one of our roles is to provide recommendations to the Board of Supervisors based on our vision, mission, you know, the resolution. So with that document, that's where we can make the recommendations. So let me hand this out to everyone. Hopefully I made enough copies. Again, not going to hurt my feelings. Well, there's other stuff. Not going to hurt my feelings if you guys don't like this or okay, I may not. I have it on my computer. Thank you. Okay. So this is what I'd like. like us to work on for today slash take this home. I'll go ahead and read it. So, Orange County Commission on the Status of Women and Girls, OCSWAG, 2026-2027 update to the Board of Supervisors. We have discussed about time to give them an update, like mid-year. So, summary, the Orange County Commission on the Status of Women and Girls, OCSWAG, is charged with identifying the conditions and needs of women and girls in Orange County and providing informed, actionable recommendations to the Board of Supervisors. According to our vision statement, the Commission advocates for the lives and well-being of women and girls through strong collaboration with Orange County stakeholders, identifying needs and gaps, sharing and utilizing resources, and engaging, educating, and empowering the community on key issues affecting the well-being of women and girls. So economic conditions, which is what I, if I'm wrong, this is what we're really focusing on as a basis for why we have some of the problems we have. Economic pressures continue to limit opportunities for women and girls in Orange County. High costs and limited availability of both child and adult care reduce workforce participation, strain household stability, and contribute to long-term financial insecurity. These pressures intersect with disparities in education, housing, health, and legal protections, creating persistent barriers, particularly for single mothers, low-income families, older women, and multi-generational households. Addressing the affordability and access child and adult care is a foundational step toward reducing economic strain and expanding opportunity for women and girls across the county. The 2026 baseline report. So the 2026 report serves as the county's first comprehensive compilation of data related to the status of women and girls. By assembling baseline information across economic conditions, access to care, safety, health, education, and representation, OCSWAG has established a foundational data set that will guide future analysis support informed decision making. This initial report strengthens the county's ability to identify emerging priorities, understand structural gaps, and elevate community voices through a clearer picture of the lived experiences of women and girls in Orange County. The 2027 direction. Looking ahead to 2027, the commission will develop recommendations based on the baseline data compiled in the 2026 report. By grounding future guidance in measurable trends and documented community needs, this work will support clear, transparent, and accountable decision-making for the Board of Supervisors, ensuring that emerging priorities reflect the lived experiences of women and girls across Orange County remain central to the county's ongoing efforts to strengthen opportunity and well-being for women and girls. The next section of this is what we're going to work on and any changes you guys want in this. From now until September, and then when we come back in September, everyone's going to hopefully bring a source that they got their information from and recommendations that they would like to discuss be put in this. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Are we limiting it to childcare or are we expanding it to kind of whatever was discussed in the 2026 report?
I open for discussion. So I don't think limiting it to quote childcare.
I guess adult
care.
Is it limited to caregiving or are we? Maybe, because I think I would love to go back and maybe pick up some of those other things. We've talked about it, but we haven't maybe developed a plan to attack it. So maybe it's an opportunity.
And absolutely. So what I want us to do today is everybody can pick. So I kind of mentioned in that 2026 baseline. So we have access to care, safety, health, education, representation. Pick something, mm-hmm. But here's the difference. So when I try to... back in April, May, whatever, and I was like, okay, everybody, put your name on the list, blah, blah, blah. Y'all participated. But it was like, then it got lost and disconnected, and, it's like herding cats, and you're busy, I'm busy, this meets once a month, and, what's the expectation? So I kind of sat down and thought, well, you know what, I think it would be best if everybody who had their emphasis, come back in September with your source data, verifiable, reliable source data link, whatever it is, and your topic that you want to include and some recommendations. So you each will present 5-10 minutes your topic, the data,
and your recommendations for us to go, yep, that should be in it, no, it shouldn't be in it. And then we'll put it all together, and then we can give a little update to the board on what we're going to do. So that's kind of what I would like to see. For the, and then the 2027 report, we'll hone in on that. But for the update, it's going to be just like, hey, Board of Supervisors, this is the areas that we're going to be expanding on and give recommendations. So hopefully the Board of Supervisors in September will get this. Again, you guys can look at it, make your corrections, with a little paragraph that says, these are the areas that we're going to focus on. We'll have that decided next, or this September, because everyone's going to come back with their subject or topic of choice. And then from September, October, November, that's when we're going to really hone in on the topics that we all agree on. It might be all seven, it might be five, it might be only three. We'll decide that as a group. How's that sound?
Sounds good, and I think this is excellent.
So basically what you're saying, each one of us comes up with three recommendations and why, and we discuss those at the next meeting. Or September, October.
No, we're going to discuss them at the next meeting so that the board can decide if we're going to include those, right? If we all go, yeah, you know, that's a little outside of our scope, or that's a little outside of our lane, let's come up with a, you know, just so at the end of the meeting in September, we're going to know exactly what we're going to tell the board. These are the 3, 4, 5, 2, 7 areas that we're going to focus on with recommendations. And then from September on, as a board, we will work on honing in the actual recommendations.
Okay. So we don't have to have all the answers for September. It's just figuring out what data sources we have that we
to tell us why you want that topic in there.
And
the recommendations, you kind of see that would benefit, you know, what your recommendations are. Like, for instance, if it was access to like childcare, right? So I think I mentioned this a long time ago. If the county, and again, we cannot tell them what to do. Some of the stuff they may look at us and go, well, we can't even do that. We're a board of supervisors. That's all okay. But for instance, if the Board of Supervisors was able, and again, over my pay grade, to do some sort of like tax cut for businesses that had on-site childcare for their employees, or gave some sort of credit benefits, you know what I mean? Something like that. So that's a recommendation that we could put in. Again, I don't know if it's feasible. We can let them decide if it's feasible. And our role is just to do the recommendation. They're the ones, their legal department, their staff, they're the ones that are going to know that's not.
Mm-hmm.
We would be following what our resolution tells us and our bylaws.
Yeah.
Can I say something? Yeah. I mean, I think also it would be good to tie it back to the report, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't go off into a new area or data source if it's already in there, and tying it back to specifically to Orange County.
Yeah.
Right, because I think we go global. Like,
right.
I know we compare state to Orange County. The idea is like, this is specific for the county.
Yeah, that's a good guardrail.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's
so kind of start from a place of, is it in the report? Do we have some data? Is it something that we feel is very specific to Orange County? And then kind of layer in, and I want to explore this additional data source maybe, or I know there's more data in the area to back it up. I think that gives you a better position for the recommendation to actually be implemented.
Sure.
Right? So I think that's just my only, I think that's a great plan. I would think having one per commissioner is even enough, because you're going to come back with like seven different, you know.
Yeah. No, that's,
so obviously you could have up to three. But I think if you have at least the one that you feel very
One, you're talking about recommendations?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's the only other thought. Like, as I was listening, I think that might end up with like too many if each person
brings. That would be the work that would be done.
Right.
After is,
yeah, we're not gonna kind of not gonna sit at Christmas time again and do this. Not happy. So yes, we don't have to rewrite the world, but if you come with three or whatever, but then the board says, you know what? Every one of us has a topic, and if we all have, like, I have a recommendation, I brought three, but I'm going to narrow it to one, or you brought five, and I'm going to say narrow it to one, or combine it to one, or you know what I mean? So we'll work with that past September. Just for this September, I really want to try and get the board to provide an update on what we're planning and what's going on, especially since we have such a great interaction and presentation and results from everyone being there for our annual report presentation and resolution. So want to make sure that this 2027 is manageable and that they know that it's coming. And
So when I submitted those inaugural reports at the various cities, the comments were more towards women are still making 87 cents for every dollar makes, and the mental health, right, for the girls, and suicide ideation. But I think mental health and childcare, for me, are more important, because if they cannot afford their childcare, they won't go out and work and all that, and so, or study, or, so I know what, I kind of got the response of the public, so to speak, but my priorities are different. So I'm like in between what to decide, go with the public or mine.
Yeah, and we can discuss that now, and everyone can kind of pick a topic, or so that we're not doubling up, if you will. Or if you both have a passion, you know, healthcare, childcare, adult care, and let's say vice chair does and you too, well then you guys can work together. You're not breaking form, you're not breaking Brown Act. If you two go offline, we don't even need to create a subcommittee for that. You guys can communicate with you two and don't communicate with anyone else.
Yes. Okay, so just for some clarification, and thank you for all the pre-work that you did. This is great. I had no notes on this at all. What I read in here and what I recall from our prior discussions was that, you know, this wonderful report was broad, and then we narrowed it down for this year to talk about really focus on child and adult care affordability and access. So we could really provide meaningful recommendations in a deep way around that. If that's the direction that we're heading, then do we want to provide that guidance to the commissioners so that we're relating back to that? So let's say there's a passion for workforce development. How does that affect child and adult care cost and access? Like tying everything back to that, if that's our theme for the year, where we want to say, hey, Board of Supes, we're going to give you recommendations on how to solve this. And by solving this, we're also affecting workforce development and safety and, you know, all of these other things. So is that our...
So in my mind, yes,
yes,
because we did this whole economic disparity was the basis for everything, right? And from that economic disparity, it could be the 87 cents per to dollar versus men. It could be the fact that women are the primary caregivers, so they have to take off, or could be the lack of access to child care. So yes.
Yes.
And that will be the work that we'll do after everyone comes and we kind of finalize our, you know, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is. And then we can dive in and make sure that we are tying it in effectively with reliable data, you know, recommendations that are logical, not far-fetched, not up to us to decide if it's doable, but we have to at least have some realm of, okay, we'll try it. You know what I mean? You never know unless you ask, right?
Okay.
that's how I'm interpreting the next steps too.
She reminded me when she mentioned that. I serve on a committee. It's called Los Amigos of Orange County. We meet every Wednesday. And I can't tell you, every time we prioritize personal petitions in the beginning, and we're getting two or three personal petitions help me pay rent. And we have resources for them to go to, but most of those resources are tapped out. If they cannot afford to pay rent, then those other issues are going to be secondary. So how can we combine this? I mean, it's heartbreaking.
It is, and we don't have the answers for everything, and we're gonna have to just narrow our focus, and there's always next year, and the year after. So, the combined effort of this first report presenting and compiling all that data, so it's all in one spot, and really getting that clear picture about what's going on in Orange County is huge. And so, I think from that, yes, it's very apparent, you know, money is gonna be the reason why most things either don't work out in a positive way for some of these women that are socioeconomically, you know, disadvantaged or have health issues or you know, don't have the education to get a job, to pay for the whatever, or don't, you know what I mean? Whatever that might be. But it's hard, but I think we're just gonna have to kind of narrow in on just very specific areas.
I mean, you could do a whole paper on expanding available child care, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if you think of it from supply and demand, the more that's available, hopefully the cost will increase a little bit.
And it's such an onion too, right? Once you peel back all the layers, I mean, that's mm-hmm. the thing too, like we have no control over what happens to that.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, not today. So, you know, when you sit there and go, let's just make it more accessible, and you know, you get the people that are like, well, I'm trying, but there's always red tape, and I can't even open up a facility, or I don't have qualified caregivers, or, you know what I mean? So all that stuff exists, and we can't control that, but that should limit us from making the recommendation, and at least putting it out that way. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And I think, to Anne's point, that if we focus on the child care now, or at least the lens, kind of like we did last year through economic stability, and then it might be that next year we take on housing affordability and housing, that you know, every year we can't solve all the problems at once, but housing in Orange County is a pretty
universal issue,
and there's nothing to say that that wouldn't rise to next year, whether it's, you know, rental assistance or opening more centers
right.
to help, I mean, whatever, but that might be another something appropriate.
Find that highlight on something different.
Yeah,
here.
Because I mean, I think those are, you know, child care affordability might not have been as high a focus for everybody. If you ask them what is the problem with Orange County, but housing affordability is probably one of the top three that everybody would say.
Duana, you're absolutely right. What I'm thinking is if we can resolve, let's say, childcare and reduce it by tax exemptions or whatever, then they have more money for rent.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So it's, we can
chip away at it.
Yeah, chip away at it.
And each thing helps the other, right? So it's like we can make housing or make childcare a little more affordable, right? They have more for rent, and then we can tackle some of those issues, you know, next year too.
You heard the comment. I have a question just with data sources, so I apologize. I missed the last meeting where I think. But I had a really hard time getting to the right person and finding, and I was kind of leaving messages and phone calls. So the part that makes me nervous is committing. I'm interested in a lot of topics. I love recommending things. My biggest complaint in the world is no one listens to me. Like, you can all just listen to me and follow through. It applies in a lot of different spaces. House, work, etc. I'm just concerned about the committing to that because I had a very difficult time with three different pathways that I, you know, in the county, one was out of state, one was in Northern California, and I could never get to the right one. One of them just never called me back. Like, nobody answered. But another one was like, this, try this. okay, this person, oh, you need to go back to that person. Well, I was into that person. So that's just the part that makes, and I don't know, because if I was here at our last meeting, if either that was just for me or if others felt that.
I had the same experience. It was difficult, but I finally got to two people, and then one of them was supposed to send me some information for the adult elder care, and I don't think they did. So now I have to follow up on that. I'm just revisiting my
emails. If I can maybe take this, I think what we're saying is we're trying to use the universe of the data sources from the 2026 report and not open them up to new ones yet. So
that's what I wanted to clarify, because there was
right.
There's a reference to that in this written work. So
yeah.
For that, but then there was also come back with your sources. So that's
exactly what sources. Just meaning like, yes, come back with your source. If it's a source, hopefully it's source from the report.
Okay.
Or, you know, Dr. McCasey has tons of, you know, you can call her and say, hey, I'm looking for
forgot.
You know what I mean? So that's what I mean by come back with your source. Okay. Yeah, I know. We all went on these goose chases, and that's what I'm saying. It was a little bit, I think, overwhelming and hard. Herding cats.
Well, we should have. I didn't realize that we
like could. Children's Home Care Society, like things like that.
I
yes,
had
I
no
do
idea.
That.
I should have yeah. contacted yeah. you, and you could have helped me get
so
the right.
They're like
right.
local. Look at our report glossary of data sources.
Okay.
And then it could be a new subset of data, but it's still the same overarching data source.
And that's not to say that after September, if we decide something is
right,
a focus,
right.
we may have
yeah.
to go back and call some of those people
right.
and say, we
right.
do need a little extra. So it's right. not saying that that's not going to happen, but we don't have to do it by September, I think.
But kind of a question on that then is our current report was really about data that supports the research about the need,
right?
And so we're wanting to put together some recommendations. So the data that supports the recommendations might be from
a different source,
right? We've identified that there's not enough childcare. That's deeply present throughout everything. We've got a lot of great data on that, but we might find that there's some places in the States or somewhere else, or there's something going on out there in the world that's moving towards solving that. So you're going to want to know what that data point is related to the recommendation. We don't want to get more data around the need. Is that what I'm hearing? But if we are coming up with a recommendation, I think we want to be able to source that.
Well, so my real job here was research.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I didn't get them. So when I say that, maybe in my head, I'm leaving out steps, but it's if you have an idea or you have a recommendation, you think like, no, it's not this, or we didn't have this, and then you on your own go in, and if you have to access some of those others or whatever, and then it leads you to somewhere else, it leads you somewhere else, and leads you somewhere else, and then you kind of go, oh, wow, look, they're doing it this way, or they're doing it this way.
When you come back, when you're discussing the area that you want to talk about, you've come with your site sources, if you will, not necessarily those are going to be the ones that go in the report, but something that you can come back with and say, well, this is why I went this path, because I looked up at this and this and this, and they all showed this. And then when we get to the actual report and solid recommendations that we're going to deliver to the Board of Supervisors, that's when we can go, well, let's check those sources that you use to help create these. And then we have time to say, well, that's really not reliable, or that may not be true. We're going to have to tweak that or leave it out. And that's stuff that we'll do later. For me right now, being that it's August, and we've told them we're going to do one every year, and for my comfort zone and my expectations of what I think we all are willing to do, have the time to do, and what is logical and reasonable to expect, and what the Board of Supervisors, we kind of told them we would do. This is kind of the best case scenario of it would be letting them know our plan in September is, hey, we're going to focus on these couple areas. We're not telling them what we're doing. We're going to focus on these couple areas. Want to give you an update so you know we're working. And then that report will be filled with, here are the areas. They don't have to be all of them. Maybe we drop some. And this is why, and that's where we cite data from this report, data that Dr. Rickasen might give us, data that, oh yeah, that is reliable. We just didn't ever include it or whatever it might be. And here's why, and here's a recommendation. And that's what I see the report containing for 2027. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
I wanted to reiterate, I think this is a this is great. I would also just bring up something I've had before where I don't love the OC swag.
Yeah, I changed it, and then I was like, you know what? That
I changed it to OCSWG, and then I put it back to swag. Again, only because I think we reference it in the report, but not opposed to just leaving
off it. I think I just think it's a little cutesy, and from my experience having attended the statewide convenings, I don't think they're all pretty much, some of them are just commissions on women, but they're all commission, but about half, more than half are commissions on women and girls, and I don't think anyone else is using that, which I think says maybe there's a universal slight preference to not use it. It's a little too,
just refer to us as a commission.
And the commission on women is how like the state commission on status of women and girls calls it, the commission on women, even they just leave out girls. In a short,
ours includes girls, but I just think
there's after two.
After yeah. I think after writing it out like the first time, you can just say the commission.
Right.
I
abbreviated it to CSWG.
Usually the and doesn't get its own letter. CSWG.
So I'm totally fine with that too. I'm not married to this. I'm absolutely okay to go. So when you guys take this home, look at it again, make your corrections, come back with your corrections, make that correction. That's absolutely not a problem.
I was just trying to see if our resolution.
No, but I think we're in agreement that this is amazing, and thank you.
As far as, I have a question about the data sources. So as far as the data sources go, can we use private sector as a reference?
I don't know.
It depends on what you're using it to support, right? So it's going to be harder for sell, right? If you're using private data to support like a program that you're trying to have the county support, because then it's like, okay, well that works in the private space, but what about governmental, or when it's a public entity that owns, say, the program. So it's better to have that kind of apple to apple comparison. But if it's the only thing that has something to indicate, then I think it's totally acceptable. Does that make sense though? It's more about
McKinsey did a report,
right,
on a corporate, you know, IBM is probably, you know, as big as a lot of counties. And so if they did a report on childcare and McKinsey published it, maybe we'd be able to cite it. But it probably also would be whether, if it's private or publicly, it probably need to be publicly available, or else we wouldn't be able to cite to it so people can look into it.
Right, it's a little harder to access.
I think that maybe the litmus test is if you can't find that information publicly out there from a public entity or a government source, then yeah, we just put a little asterisk maybe that says this was cited from such and such. But the only thing I'll say, just my little ethics brain where it goes, is the board might have a hard time if there would be ever a conflict of interest because there's a private company in Orange County that would benefit from the board making a decision that would benefit them based on the data that we see. That makes sense.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it though from a standpoint of, you know, interview for information to, you know, because they have the private sector has a real good picture of holistically the whole adult care, senior care, and child care, if that's their business. You know, they have a real good understanding of it, more than I do. And so, you know, I mean, I can think of a lot of private sector references that I could go interview and ask them, you know, where they see, you know, the needs are and what they would recommend if they were making recommendations, things like that.
That'd be fine because that's like an interview,
like background,
research. That's an interview that you could, and we could title it as, you know, interviews conducted to help support for, you know, my recommendations, whatever.
I love that because I really think the solutions to many of our problems are going to come through public-private partnerships.
Yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so let's kind of, if you know, I'm going to write it down on this. Unless you, do you guys need one of these?
We have one.
Right.
Okay. And I can always email it to you. So let's write down who wants to kind of, what you're coming back with in September and see if there's any duplicity, and then you guys can pair off and work. It doesn't have to be seven different topics. It could be three. It could be five.
I'm going to continue gathering information from the sources that
the two sources that I was able to get through to. One was adult and senior care, and then one was the child care for the department or the Children's Home Society of Orange County. And so I think I'm going to continue to drill down on that. And then I'm going to talk to some people that I know in the private sector that are in those types of businesses, and maybe they can give me some more direction on data sources as well.
Okay, so I'll work with you on that because I've got connections for Alzheimer's OC. So as far as caregiving,
mm-hmm. adult, and then child. Can I say something before we move on to the other recommendations? Because I meant to say it earlier. So the both two supervisors, when you presented the report, had directives at the dais. So from Vice Chair Foley, requested future commission areas of focus include teen pregnancy rates, eating disorders, and menopause, and to include the commission's recommendations and initiatives in future reports, which is what we're talking about. From Supervisor Sarmiento, strengthen future reports by including representation of Latino women in community and child care costs. So there was a request to, you know, look specifically at how Latino women and girls fare within that area of child care.
So Foley said teen pregnancy and what else?
She said teen pregnancy rates, eating disorders, and menopause. And to try to include those in future recommendation or initiatives in the report. So, not that you have to hit all of those for this time, but just for consideration as you're thinking about your areas.
As far as Sarmiento's directive,
I thought our report was included a lot of that information.
Yeah, and we've worked with his office to show that while they wanted it more called out, like in its own category, and we indicated that it was still part of the subpopulation, and then in the back, right? Like we even had that more detailed. So I think they wanted to see it more upfront in the report, and then I think this one specifically is about just looking at is there a difference for the need within childcare. For the population. So I would look at it for all of the different demographics, right? And also income levels. So that was my interpretation of the ask.
Yeah, I think that's helpful, especially when we're making recommendations. We're, I think, in some ways thinking of a homogenous plan of recommendations where it may be we need to target specific communities for help based on the community, you know, what a family in Costa Mesa's needs for child care and their access might be different than someone in Santa Ana. And so it's, I guess, just acknowledging that whether there's economic, geographical, or ethnic.
Yeah, socioeconomic and even cultural. Like we talk a lot about cultural, needs for elder care, for example, because there's the stigma and those types of things.
Okay.
So, let me touch on the eating disorder piece. I was going to talk about that in the next agenda item, but I did want to see if you were interested in having somebody come in and speak about eating disorders. I unfortunately have multiple family members in that space, and so I have a lot of personal expertise and relationships. So if you're interested in having somebody come in and speak on that, I can certainly do that. That might help address a little bit of Supervisor Foley's interest, so then the group can get a little bit more informed. There are some relationships that I could think of in terms of, I don't know really about child care and adult care, but there are things related to birth rate and things like that. Anyway, I could dig in a little bit on that. But I was really interested in just focusing on availability of child care and adult care. So I can take one of those if you want, because I'd like to see, in the same way we can map food deserts, you know, where people have access to or don't have access to fresh food, I think we can, there's probably mapping already done by the commission, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, and I can put you in touch with, I forget her name right now, but you probably met her.
Yeah.
They have like a data analyst who's done all that mapping.
So I think just looking at that, the availability, we identify where it's missing, and then look at how could we incentivize the creation of additional child care or adult care in those communities.
Right. I think with child care, they're already working on that.
They are.
Highlighting that, promoting that.
So I think we can just
amplify. A lot of it is where you put your funds.
So then let me, so I'm going to take myself out of that one. You two work on that one, on the adult care, child care access and affordability. And then I'll do the eating disorder, focus on the eating disorder and menopause.
But how, so my question is, how does that relate to?
How does eating disorder?
I mean, we have a focus that has been identified.
I'm looking at it through the lens of education. Right. So the education aspect for young folks and eating disorders.
Right. Okay. I think we're watering down our messaging.
And that's fine. And when we get to the point in September, we can have that discussion, and if we say, well, that's not going to work out, but I want us all to have a direction, and we can, when I come back with all my data and everything, we can have that discussion then. And if we decide that that's watering down and we don't like it, we want to change it, that's fine.
We could do something in the next report kind of to them where we give them an update and say, our focus is child care in this specific thing. We also wanted to make sure that we picked up a couple of loose balls from the prior report, and based on some supervisor feedback, we're also going to address, like, we're doing this on childcare, but we wanted to add in the information that we've got on data to address specific issues that, and so we can bring back maybe those, you know, three issues and just have it as a little, you know, kind of as a addendum to our prior report.
We definitely want to be responsive, but I also want us to own our own point of view. So that's why, you know, why we're.
But I think I can easily tie in teen pregnancy and eating disorders too.
Okay, well, and I'll talk with you too, because I have a speaker we could bring in. She's amazing.
I would love that, because I would love to know the scope of the issue. I mean, I know how it was when a lot of us were growing up, but I honestly don't know what the scope of the issue is now. But I have got two daughters, so I'd love to hear about it.
It's still a mental illness with the highest mortality rate.
I did read that just recently. A really high mortality rate, like 1 in 5. That was something I read. Was it that high?
It depends on other factors, but it is definitely an important issue.
And if we're kind of going down the line, I think for me, Crystal, what I would probably like to do is go back to the report and pick up. I may be a little bit broad, and I don't know what focus I want. I think I want to go back to kind of those initial recommendations that we were making that we've pulled back on, and see if there's anything that's glaring, whether it's related to childcare or not, and then see if it rises to the, if we can either kind of shoehorn it into childcare, you know, if it could be tangentially related, say it's an economic thing and relate it to childcare, or toss it if it's not. But I think I'd like to
sure.
go with really broad and not identify what my focus will be for now and just go yeah. back over the report and see if anything jumps at me. That's
absolutely okay.
Absolutely
okay, because I feel like if you have a passion for what you want to do, then you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Instead of me going, if it's something you like, then you're going to enjoy it and put your heart and soul on it. But
right.
you would have to take credit.
Right. So but I'll come back in September with something.
And that'll be exciting to we'll
be.
See what you
right.
Okay, so
I'm thinking, now that you mentioned teen pregnancy, it's also associated with early child marriage. Because when I did presentations about that, a lot of people, including some elected officials, said, well, you know, if she's pregnant, she should get married.
Okay.
And I'm like, you need to look at the root cause of the problem. Are the parents discussing safe sex or abstention? And if they're not thinking this is not going to happen to their kids, and their solution is, oops, she's pregnant, let's marry her off to the rapist, that's not a solution. And so I'm thinking mental health, because I'm representing these to so many cities, suicide ideation, as far as girls are concerned, is higher than boys. So I want to look at that and look at teen pregnancy.
Okay, so I'm going to put you, I love the mental health aspect of it, because that mental health can drive why domestic violence happens, why people slip up to you, why you fall out.
And bullying. We had.
Yeah. So I'm going to put you down for mental health and then the teen pregnancy. And I love your work, but I just want to get it out in the open. Like, you can't make this report about child marriage. Just,
no.
You know, awful, and I 100% support you, but I want to make sure that we're consistent in what our mission is.
And when I dig deeper, once I dig deeper, it could be just girls' mental health. So I want to dig deeper into both and see if I can do both, or maybe just concentrate on the mental health, girls' mental health.
And then,
so I have a couple of thoughts. Sort of similar to Joanna, I wanted to take a look again at relook at the report and think about what are the areas where county is lowest as compared to the state, right? I thought it was really interesting to kind of rank ourselves, and there were some where we were high, I mean, depending on what's high and low, but there were some where we were performing better and it was stand out, and there were some where we were surprisingly performing. So I want to kind of look through that. The other lens, though, is just the graying of the county. And so when I just think about from a city perspective, like our senior centers and how overwhelmed they are with essentially the inability to serve. We're like regional now, right? I only can speak for the city of Brea, but we are serving much more than the city of Brea with seniors coming from all these others. And I'm just thinking as we march on and Orange County continues to age in place, sort of what the reality of those programs are going to look like. So that's very broad, and I don't really know where I'm going with
well,
that,
I love
but
it
I think
because
it's a real
you
trend
have...
and an issue that we're all going to face, like in each. City.
Yeah, no, I love
and
it.
The county
you have the whole Office on Aging, Veterans Affairs, all that. So the data there is huge. Also, you have the Older Adult Needs Assessment Survey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all that is, I have a copy if you want. So I'm going to put you to be determined, just like Joanna, but
sounds like you might focus on
connected, but it's different than just adult care.
Well, and I think there's a reason I have to give that episode for a member of the sandwich generation, right? So what does that do? When the senior center can't provide the services that your aging parents, aunts, neighbors need, like what does that weigh? Well, that's even work early. You have to do XYZ, right? Be sure that there's so a little bit of stress.
Okay, well, this is fantastic. So then everybody please come back in September with, you know, a more succinct title or, you know, delivery of what you're doing with
couple recommendations that can be massaged maybe or melded in with others. We'll see. We'll talk about it. It'll be a working group. And then we will make it an action item too that we're going to vote on what's going to be presented for the rest of this kind of update to the Board of Supervisors. Does that sound like it? Yep. You good? Okay. Any other comments on this?
Quick follow-up from me. For Commissioner Merrick, we have the Master Plan for Aging. So that's a good document. We can share that.
Perfect.
And it has data, so you could have start from where we're, what we're already doing for the Master Plan for Aging at the county and maybe layer that in. So that's a great tie-in to something that's happening right now. And Krislyn and I are heading off that plan. So we are the experts on that one. And then I was just looking at the team girls at Girls Inc. Thinking maybe there's research that they've done, right? It sounds like they're doing a lot of those projects anyway,
right?
So maybe tapping into what they have in terms of the mental health. Right, I'm thinking they probably have done a lot of like data or research into that field, and then as well as anything related to teen pregnancy, or that would be great to already tie it to. I know we support that program.
Yeah.
The supervisors also give. I think a couple of them also support Girls Inc. So just thinking of ways that it's already there's already existing data or research done. And then also tying it to what the county's already working with on.
So I'll ask Lucy Santana then.
Yeah, I think that would be great, right? Mm-hmm. If you already have that partnership and link it to something they may have already been looking into.
And see what they've done. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks, guys. Moving on to number three, update by commissioners on potential guest presentations for upcoming commission meetings. So I know you had somebody.
Yes. So trying to kind of pulling it back kind of off of the report of what we're doing and going back to more of a 30,000 foot level view of what our commission does, trying to get Darcy Totten from the executive director of the California Commission on the Status of Women and Girls to come in. She is unavailable kind of in the foreseeable future to come, but she recommended kind of her right hand is Alex Zuko, who's a woman who's the director of policy and legislation at the California Commission. And so she is available for the September meeting. And I will meet with her. We have a meeting in, I can't remember if it's next week or the following week. So we'll meet to kind of prep her. I'll meet with her to kind of tell her what we're looking for. I've already described for them the kind of information we're looking for, but it's more how other commissions are run, how they're funded, how they're structured, kind of what activities they engage in, kind of a broad, there are so many commissions that there's going to be a lot of different answers. There are some that are county-based and funded now, and then some of them who have separated from the county and become their own nonprofit. So I think we'll get a wide answer, but to just give us direction of kind of, yes, we're doing the reports and we're, but what else should we be doing? What else can we be doing? So Alex will come speak to us in September, if that's all right.
What was Alex's
Zuko, Z-U-C-C-O. It's a woman.
And I had a speaker.
And she's the director of policy and legislation. And so Darcy will brief her on the areas that we might have questions on that maybe aren't within her expertise. She knows that we're looking for kind of broad organizational information, not just and funding and things like that, and not looking for policy and legislation. Like we may have some questions about that, but she's speaking a little bit more from the executive director perspective.
I had a speaker too from the Children's Home Society of Orange County, Rachel Daly.
So.
I can follow up on that.
September's going to be heavy with a presentation and then us doing a working group.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. How long would you like me to have?
Like 20 minutes, because the rest of it for the agenda should just be 15 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, so like 10-minute speaking, 10-minute Q&A, you think, break it down? What, some sort of a presentation, or
yeah,
what would you?
Yeah, that would be a good place to start.
Okay.
Is she local?
No, I'm sorry, it'll be, we can set up a Zoom.
Okay.
I think she's
okay.
In San Francisco.
I was gonna say that was 20 minutes to fly down here. Okay, so Zoom.
Yeah,
right.
It'll be
yeah.
Zoom.
We can do Zoom, right?
Yeah, can you guys make a note to Valerie? She'll be back.
So I'll ask, I'll call my speaker and see if she can come in October.
Okay, and that was, what's her name?
Rachel Daly from Children's Home Society.
Before she was with, maybe to Jeremy, right? Do you know Rachel?
I don't know her personally.
Okay, yeah, I think I know Rachel pretty well.
Okay, so then let's just get an update on the agenda for September. We actually have the presentation for October. Okay, great.
And then are you interested in, I could have Dawn Theodore come in.
For the eating disorder.
For the eating disorders, yeah. She's a national speaker.
It's up to the commission if you guys want. I don't want to schedule too many back-to-back because who knows, like in October, we're going to be like sit pretty with this thing already almost done, or we're gonna have to really work a lot. So can we wait to see how September goes?
Absolutely.
We'll wait and see if we have that. Any other comments? Okay. Last one, agenda item number 4, discussion regarding commission's authority as defined by board policy and commission bylaws related to member requests. So there were member requests for us to sponsor, right?
Co-host.
So I don't know what the board policy is for this, because I looked for it, and the only board policies that we have in there are for like ethics and fair practice and hiring and everything. So I don't know what the board policy is on this, but what is the expectation of co-hosting? What do they want you to do?
Basically, this is the event, and I can share this with everyone. And it's basically just to indicate that the Orange County Commission on the Status of Women is co-hosting this event. It's Saturday, September 12. It's our 6th annual walkathon to end child marriage and human trafficking. It's always in Irvine at the same place with the Jeffrey Open Space Trail. It's co-hosted and co-sponsored by 5 of the Irvine City Council members, including the mayor, vice mayor, and 3 council members. 3 out of the 5 supervisors are also co-sponsoring the event, Chairman Chafee, Sarmiento, and Foley, and Supervisor Jenna Song from LA, and other nonprofits. So it's basically to indicate that the commission is co-hosting this event too, because they think this is raising awareness about child marriage and human trafficking is important.
So this is a question, I think, for our legal, because I don't know if this is, I support absolutely. So personally, I think we can all get on board with this, but I don't know if our role as commissioners in this body, if that is outside of our lane. So I would really love.
So I think it's county council obviously is here. The only part that's like linked to legal is the fact of is over the role of the commission, right? So the role of the commission is clear that it is linked to your bylaws, what's written in your bylaws, and your and whatever resolution to form you state, right? Since it's not like a state mandated commission. So, and then in terms of a board policy, it's really in that each individual supervisor can endorse, you know, the event based on their desire to do so. The commission cannot, because it's representing all 5 supervisors, right? And so then that would be a separate ask of all 5 different supervisors to be part of the event.
Yeah, we're asking the other two, but
okay.
Yeah, we're
asking. That's what the litmus test is then. If all five are on board, if all five have publicly endorsed and supported this, then for me personally, then I would say, okay, let's discuss it. Are we all good with being a co-sponsor? But
there's no, there's nothing in the bylaws that, that the commission is, should serve in that capacity, right? To be a representative of the county as a whole.
To echo what Liz is saying, the only board this, the only action this commission can take in its official capacity is governed entirely by our bylaws. And if it's outside of that, then it would not be impermissible by your own rules. So when you're thinking about what can we do and what cannot we do, it's really two principles, and you can always refer to that under your mandate, right? But generally speaking, it's two. You're to issue a comprehensive research and analysis into the status of women and girls. You present your findings in a report. Second, so you're creating that comprehensive research and analysis in a defined capacity. Second, ongoing advisory support to the board by presenting regular reports and updates on the progress.
Okay, so that's very clear.
So anything outside of that, sponsoring, co-sponsoring, raising funds, doing anything officially as a SWAG membership, that's outside of your mandate, outside of your bylaws, and outside of what you're permitted to do. It doesn't mean you can't ask the board for things, but they would be the ones taking action that you're interested in. If it's within the parameters of status of women and girls here in Orange County, that's more within the purview of your bylaws, right? But it wouldn't be you taking action. That would be the board doing any official conduct, but you're talking to them about it. Your official conduct is governed by the bylaws. You can change the bylaws. That is with the board's permission. That's with the board's permission and all that that involves. And I'm not suggesting you do. I'm just saying if there's an interest in going beyond, that is the official way to do it and not otherwise.
Got it.
So that is actually really interesting. I think with Alex Zuko coming to speak, one of the things we need to do is maybe send them our bylaws and see if anybody else has bylaws as kind of limiting as ours. I mean, we are really just a report issuing entity.
Commission.
Well, advisory.
And I wonder.
So it seems to me we could, if we want to,
and advise.
Suggest that the board supervisors officially, right? Like if I'm listening here, right, that would be the conversation, which is if this is something that affects men and girls in Orange County, we would not be sponsor of something like this. So if we could request to the board or ask, suggest, whatever the right word is, that this is something we might want to consider officially becoming a co-sponsor versus single supervisor at a time, but rather
at a block. I mean, you're monitoring and identifying critical areas affecting women and girls, and the closer you connect it to women and girls and things that affect them, you're going to be within your bylaws. Outside of that, but then you're also citizens, right? So you can talk to the board in that capacity. But as far as if you're acting within your scope as commission members, it's really with an eye towards the status of women and girls and things that impact that. So does this impact not necessarily?
It does, because we're raising awareness about them not becoming victims of child marriage or human trafficking.
Connected. I hear that connection.
Yeah.
So then you're talking to them about it, raising it, you know, getting their buy-in, and they would make the decision.
But and along with this, one of the other things was, you know, fundraising or could we raise money or whatever like that. So that. I didn't
ask you to fundraise.
No, I think someone else.
Oh, no, I think I was. I mentioned that, like the LA Commission puts on scholarships and things like that. So that it was one of the things that I know that other commissions do, and kind of how where we would want to go. But it sounds like we definitely would need to change our.
We would need to ask the
committee to change our bylaws.
Yeah.
And for the record, I'm circulating the bylaws so that you can always just refer to that in all of it. This is your governing. Ever have questions? When I make recommendations, I'm primarily looking first to that.
Another way of looking at it is we're not a separate brand. Right? Everything we do goes out under the, we give it to the supervisors and they do what they will with it. We're not a separate brand that can do
sponsorships or fundraisers, right, or it's not like a service group.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. Some of them have branched off of their and become independent probably because of some of those limitations and Brown Act, where they wanted all seven members to be able to go sit on a Saturday afternoon and
talk about them. It's a very good conversation because I hadn't really thought.
Yeah, and the way you can think of it is the board has the power. They have delegated some of that power to you lawfully, but you wouldn't go in excess of that because then it's not legal authorized power that's been delegated to you.
Along those lines, so we had talked a couple months ago about maybe getting different legislative updates or seeing if we could support or, oppose different bills that might be coming down. And so Vice Chair put together a pretty comprehensive list of all the different bills coming forward. So again, I think that falls outside the scope of what our role is right now, which is we don't have the authority, I think, because we're not legislative bodies, right? We're not a legislative policy.
But we can report on legislation because it comes down to the status of women and girls.
Or could we, in the future, it doesn't work time-wise with respect to the legislative cycle to talk about these things in early August and just how the legislature is operating. It's sort of too late. This is really just more informative if I can still pass it out. But I guess my only question would be in the future, if the timing were different, should have enough to keep going around the circle, but if the timing were different and we wanted to ask the supervisor to take a position, would we be within our bounds, right? So for example, the first one on the active list is AB 1257, marriage prohibition on minors, right? Something that's come up a lot today.
It's in my report.
Right, so if fast forward 2 years, let's hope it's done in 2 years, but fast forward 2 years, let's say it's suspended or something happens, would this body be able to, in May or June, suggest, request, ask the Board of Supervisors to consider taking a support position? To me, that would be within the purview of, child marriage, if it's legal in the state of California, is certainly occurring in Orange County, and if that's something that this body seeks to end, we can't make a support position, but could we put forth something to ask the supervisors to do so?
Well, so in that line, if we, in our bylaws, it says that we are able to make recommendations to the board, then again, if the timing was right.
So that seemed like a yes to me, but I wanted to clarify that.
Could we, as a board, let's say that the timing's perfect, right, and that it's within the scope of the legislative calendar, and we put it on the agenda and we go, hey, here's some bills. Do you guys want to support them? And we say, okay, well, we're going to put forth a recommendation in the middle of March next year. Asking the board, the commission recommends that the board take these positions. So we're falling underneath the recommendation part of our bylaws, but it just happens to be on.
Yeah, so my office has advised on this for other commissions, and we've taken the position that you can bring it to the board and ask the board to take a position and make a recommendation, but it would be the board taking the position, not the commission. Yes.
Right.
Okay. And so it's because it's connected to women and girls.
And it's the commission recommendation to the board.
Yes. Now, that's just in terms of the legal technicalities. Anything else, and, that is not my purview, but it, legally speaking, that would be permissible.
Correct. And then I will follow up by saying that we specifically have a policy related to this, and we include it in our what we call our ledge platform, our legislative platform. Mm-hmm. We're in the cycle. It's every 2 years. And so we do that in order for the board to all agree, like, this is your platform. Here's all your areas of concern, and very specific to legislation. So I can incorporate, so if you go to the board in this report and maybe have like a piece around legislation, right, we recommend this for consideration in your ledge platform, then they can bring that to our legislative team, our CEOLA team, to include it in our ledge platform as its own kind of call out. So for the master plan for aging, we included like the older adult
cohort, aging cohort that we contemplated for coordinated care, for example. That's in our legis platform.
Okay. So it sounds like it's doable as long as it's a recommendation from the entire board. You don't have control whether or not they approve or don't approve. We aren't making a stance on it. We're just asking, we're making a stance, but we're doing it through asking the board to take a position on a bill or whatever. But it sounds like it has to really line up from a calendar standpoint ahead of time. So we have to really make sure we're on the ball as far as timing wise. Put something in the report that the bill is either already dead,
right, or already passed.
Already passed.
Yes. So I just have a question about the timing of, you said they do the ledge platform every 2 years. So
yes. Where are we?
Yeah, so where are we? Like we are every year, right? At the beginning of every calendar year, we update that, and the topics are pretty broad, right? So it seems,
correct.
So again, if I'm just using prohibition of, you know, minors marrying, right, that's a pretty broad topic. And until that's solved, it just sits on the legislative platform. But if any bill comes up related to this, then
yeah, there's kind of
no.
Yes.
Through something, we are against child marriage, so we are going to support bills that are against child marriage. But for other things that come up that are like, if you look at this list, for example, the second one, AB 1626, is about youth health, sports, and coaches. As Crystal said about other topics, like I'm all for that. People should be better trained, but it's not specific to girls. So I wouldn't suggest making a recommendation because that's for all youth. But then SB 99 and 1395 are with respect to protective orders in cases of violence. One is military and one is to do with sex offenders. Not specifically for women, but broadly speaking, many cases of protective orders are filed by women or requested by women, right? So that's one where maybe, I don't know that that would ever make it into a legislative platform, and maybe it's something we wouldn't want to suggest that the supervisors support. But I guess some of them seem easy to put on a legislative platform, I would say, and others seem a little bit trickier to find, like how something like that, if we chose to agree or support. Yeah.
I love that idea. I support it. It's just we need enough time. Okay. If you send us the legislation in advance to do our own due diligence, so this way, when we come back and we vote yes, as a commission, we would like the board of supervisors to support or.
Makes sense with their legislative platform. So I don't know where you right. are in the cycle, or the county is in the cycle of the legislative platform.
We are just beginning the process, and I believe it's an 8-month process for completion. So what does that put us at? And that includes like the statements, like what you're saying, right? So if you could create some broader statements that could be included in the platform. And I'll also provide, at the next meeting, I could get you a copy of it, the current Ledge platform. Mm-hmm. So you could see, I mean, I think that's probably the best to see where it would fit in. Because we're not going to change the structure of the Ledge platform, as far as I know. But yes, we're in the creation and taking input from departments right now. And then all that gets coalesced and then sent up to the supervisors for review and negotiation.
Sure. So from a timing perspective, is that something that we would want to agendize for our next meeting if we have something we want to suggest? Or is that already too late, or do we have more time? Because I'm just thinking probably something with respect to against a child in marriage might pass muster. I mean, I'll have a vote on that, but
we might have time if we postpone it to October.
I'm just wondering if the county is there in the information gathering. I don't know that.
She said it's 8-month process.
Where is the county
now? They're in committee. So the ones on the back have been suspended, right? So they're done for this cycle. So this one was still active, but there were like votes happening yesterday. Right, because we're getting really close to the end of the legislative cycle. Yes. So the other thing that could happen is it could get signed into law and then it's moved, right? We don't have to. Right.
So historically, it was Planned Parenthood and ACLU who were against passing a law to end child marriage under 18, no exceptions. Just that you know, and ACLU already put in their position that they're against it. Planned Parenthood's argument doesn't apply anymore because abortion is enshrined in our constitution. but they're supporting ACLU. So I don't know where they stand at this time. I heard rumors that they are for this bill, but then I heard they're not. So it's not confirmed, but this is the situation where it is. And of course, we support ending child marriage under 18, no exception, because they've used most of the things we wanted in that bill.
Well, so the only thing I can think of is if we put it on for the September agenda.
We have a speaker and we have the three items. And
does it fall within the timeline scope?
For the county.
I think I'm confused. What do you want to have happen?
The recommendation, if the board agreed to ask, if this commission agreed to have the board take a position,
I guess,
on this.
Support.
It would be to put it on their legislative platform. It would be if the commission wanted to suggest that the board add something against
a broader statement. Yes,
to their legislative platform.
You have enough time that I wouldn't rush it. I would look at the platform, think about where you want to make the ask,
yeah,
and have that, include that in your report. Like, say,
okay,
have a section at the end around legislative, advice.
Okay.
And then
we've tried to pass that in Orange County before, and so we pulled it at the last minute. So not all supervisors are on board.
Yeah.
Just that, you know.
But I think
that's why I think you need to, like, if everyone here is on board, it's good to start the conversation. Maybe have some, like we said, look at the platform, think about what your positions are. And if there's additional, do it all together to allow for them to consider it. But you have enough time because that, like I said, we're just barely getting the input.
September or October? Can we do it in October?
Yes. October would still meet the timeline.
I think we're talking about two things, right? We're talking about, do we want to create a regular
awesome
conversation between the commission and the Board of Supervisors regarding upcoming legislation where we spend time as a commission learning, like you did, Christine, thank you so much, and then coming up with a position and forwarding that up, right? And then I think the other conversation is around the LEDGE platform, which is generally not as granular as one topic, right? So do we want to make sure that the LEDGE platform includes something in there about the focus on enhancing the lives of women and girls? And we can massage the language on that. Am I interpreting this correctly?
Well, no, I think the first one was, yeah, we were discussing that, but I think it's gotten squashed. And now it's just talking about the LEDGE platform.
Okay, got it. Okay.
So we would not ask the board to take a position because it would have to go through the LEDGE platform. We wanted to, you're right, that was the very beginning of the conversation.
Okay.
It's been shifted to, we would ask to have something put on the LEDGE platform
that would then guide their decision making.
Yes.
Okay,
because
thank you
that's
for that.
How they operate.
Yeah. And they created that for that purpose to give them cover, right? So that they're not getting asked, for every individual support letter.
Okay.
And also they'll tell you this themselves. Like, we're not everyone's favorite in our delegations. So it's also sometimes it's not that helpful to have our, support from is us being Orange County, right, at the state level, for example. So that's also something to consider.
So who are the three supervisors that are in support of ending child marriage?
I heard Tracy, Foley, and Sarmiento.
Is that correct?
Say that again, sorry.
Who's committed to sponsor?
What's sponsoring the board?
It's public.
That's sensitive.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, there are three who are sponsoring your walk, right?
Yes.
So those three were Foley, Sarmiento, Chafee.
Yeah, the ones who are sponsoring the walk are Foley, Sarmiento, and Chafee.
And they're in favor of ending child marriage.
Yes.
And we don't know where the other supervisors stand on that.
I do. One of them, but I don't think it's for.
Okay, it's a public.
You can talk about it on the way to the parking lot.
This is a new subject area for me. I'm in shock that child marriage is legal in Illinois.
The worst shock is that it's zero minimum age in California. All what you need, it's New Mexico, Mississippi, and California. All what you need is parental consent / coercion and judicial approval in California. And none of the survivors we worked with, 13 married to 38, 14 to 40, were asked whether they're coerced into this marriage when they were forced to marry. Mm-hmm. So.
It's a public, I mean, I don't understand why, if you, I want to know who and why.
The parking lot may be a good.
Agreed.
I thought it was two. I read it in the paper.
Three states. There were four states. Oklahoma just passed legislation. No child marriage under 18, no exception.
Yeah.
So that leaves three states with zero minimum age. California, New Mexico, Mississippi. And there's 33 states that still allow child marriage under 18.
Okay. All right. Well, so let us say you'll bring an example of the
legislative platform. Yes, and I'll also email the link. It's online, but we also have some hard copies upstairs.
Okay. So I think for October, maybe we'll put this on for October.
Yeah, and I'll do a quick find of what is already existing related to women and girls, because we should align with what the county already has identified.
Because September is going to be. I think that covered all of that agenda item. Right, Liz? On the different topics that we're going to cover, the different asks that we have.
And the three things that we talked about.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also a reminder, because I think we talked about this briefly, is also your bandwidth, right? We can't do, we're women, we want to do it all. But I think the other part was we need to focus on the report and making it the best, the most robust that it can be. And so we also don't want to distract from that work. So I think
we can multitask. I mean, making a recommendation to the board doesn't take.
Oh, for sure. That's why I think including it even in the report itself, it ties it all really well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we're at Commissioner Comments and Roundtable. So, does anybody have any updates?
Yes, so one of my report items was California Bill 1267. We finished the PowerPoint presentation about. This it was approved and blessed by the county, so all the commissioners can use it. And I presented our report to 10 out of the 11 cities so far, and only San Juan Capistrano is left. And so I received two more reports because I was short too, and so that will be my last. And then I wanted you to know that on Tuesday, the American Bar Association just passed a resolution that says no child marriage, we support no child marriage under 18, no exception. And there was also a federal legislation that was introduced by Senator Durbin and Rep Moore that says no child on a federal level, no child marriage under 18. And so that's my, just let me make sure I finished. Yes.
Anybody else have any other comments?
Well, good luck at your
walk. Yes.
Am I allowed to during Commission Roundtable?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. I never know what I'm allowed to say. So, a couple things. One, because Supervisor Foley mentioned menopause, I just wanted to let you know I've been overseeing an analysis and currently in the process of a grant making RFP to be decided this summer. one of the topics is menopause in Orange County. So I would be happy to share findings if that would be of interest, one-on-one, or I could present. Although I unfortunately can't be at this September meeting, but I could do it at a future meeting. And on that note, there are currently 5 bills that have been introduced in this congressional session. So federal legislation that would introduce new funding, educational requirements, and coverage for menopause, including perimenopause. So happy to share that information as well. And the last thing I just wanted to offer is that in terms of process, I'm so excited about getting to this stage of developing recommendations, but we don't have to start from scratch, meaning there are these databases, and somebody mentioned McKinsey earlier. A lot of think tanks and even federal, like the National Institutes of Health, maintain lists of programs, services, what are called generically interventions that have already been researched and studied and published in peer-reviewed journals, and they have therefore been recognized as what we call evidence-based practices. Mm-hmm. So rather than saying, I think it'd be really cool to offer tax credit for child, you know, on-site childcare at a business location in Orange County, but I don't know if it works, if that actually works or how to do it, we can also look to these databases to say, hey, our topics are childcare, economic, you know, wage disparity, whatever the group decides. And then we can look to the databases and say, well, what types of programs have already been validated as effective? These work, and they've been recognized in peer-reviewed journals. So that's a way to think about, as especially if you haven't committed to a topic yet, but in between now and the next meeting, if there is a topic of interest to you, just Google search, you know, evidence-based or best practices, peer-reviewed best practices to address childcare gaps or whatever your topic is, and see if you can find a program or intervention that has already been validated so that we know there's science, we know that there are linkable sources that are publicly available. So, which isn't to say don't come up with your own ideas. You can then see if those ideas have been validated. And if not, that's a great research project for a university student or graduate student to do, and there's lots of ways of making that happen. But yeah.
A comment. We saw that a bill has passed in New York, and I forgot the other states where they have an 800 number so you can call them for human trafficking and other things. And I went to Assemblywoman Cari Petri Norris, and she loved the idea, and she had a committee. And so basically they do the research and they come back to you with the stakeholders and say, yeah, we love the idea of an 800 number, but our research indicated. So that's another venue for us, is they may have discussed that on a state level and they've done the research. So we can go there and ask them.
Okay, any other comments? Well, as always, I appreciate you guys. And if there's nothing else, I'd like to
thank you guys for coming, and nice to
see y'all back. And I will see you on September 3rd at 10 a.m.
Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you, ladies.